everybody, and welcome to Take a Knee. I'm Pastor David. I wanted to begin with telling you a story today about something that happened in my life many years ago, and it was quite a learning opportunity. I had gone on a trip along with a number of other men for a missions opportunity, and it was pretty exciting. I was going to be going to Mexico, down deep into southern Mexico, really almost to the Guatemalan border from what I remember. In fact, I think I had told you a story already about a flying experience I had. I had so many experiences on this trip. So this trip was when I took a group of young people to Mexico, and we were told that we could go and visit a silver mine, or we would go to a city called Taxco. And Taxco was up in the mountains and was well known for silver. So there were silver mines where you could go and buy, you know, silver at a cheaper rate than maybe where you would buy it other places, since it was mined right there. So I remember we drove up there. It was a fun time. And on this particular trip, I don't believe that there were many of us. I think that our team broke up and there were some that went to one particular place and then we went to another. And so we jumped in the truck and up into the mountains we went. And we finally came to Taxco, which was a beautiful town. It was built, as I recall, right on the side of a mountain or right in the mountains. So there was clearly a beautiful experience to be had. So I remember we were walking around in the village and just looking at some of the stores. And this man walked up, and I believe our leader had dropped us off and was going to meet us later. And turns out that probably wasn't the best idea because of what was getting ready to happen. And so this individual walked up, so this Mexican gentleman who walked up and said, "Hey, do you guys want to see a silver mine?" And we're like, "Well, yeah, that'd be cool." And he was dressed well, so we were thinking, well, maybe he's just a tour guide and that there's a mine nearby that we could check out, because this city was built in and among the mines. They weren't that far away. So I remember he was being really insistent, and he said, come, you can see a silver mine. He said, "It's very close, very close." So I was like, "Oh, well, okay." And so we jumped into the back of the truck that he had, therefore. So there's two or three of us jumped into the back of the truck, and the truck started winding through these little roads. And I remember thinking, wow, this is crazy. You know, we're getting farther and farther away. And I started getting nervous that maybe this was some kind of a situation where we were getting kidnapped or we would end up at a bunch of terrorists. So I was thinking, the moment he slowed down and looking at my friend saying, maybe we should get out of this truck real quickly. But just as I began to wonder about that and look for an escape, he pulled in front of this cliff face. And so now I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe he was telling the truth. I don't know. And we saw a number of people around it, so we weren't alone. It wasn't remote. It was a place that was a legitimate entrance to a cave, and people were going in. So I was like, okay, cool. So maybe he's telling the truth after all. And I had no idea. Still was very, very suspicious that something was going to happen. So we walked into the cave, and sure enough, it was pretty cool. It was pretty amazing. But it had a concrete floor that was finished. So I remember going in thinking, well, this may have been a mining cave, but certainly now it's been modernized. I mean, it's like the entrance to something. And so as we were walking along, it was dressed up to make it look like it was rustic with lanterns hanging along the side. And then anyway, I saw up ahead a light. And so we came and we walked up some steps that were very nice steps. And into a room we went. And guess what the room was? The room was a jewelry store. And so the whole thing was this man trying to get people into their jewelry store by the guise of, "You're going to see a silver mine." And so up into the jewelry store we came. It was a very nice jewelry store, and walking around. And of course, it was all these silver rings and bracelets. And I mean, it was all silver. It was beautiful, gorgeous. But of course, it was all retail and very expensive. And so we were told that's not where you want to buy any silver. If you're going to buy any, you don't want to buy it there because it's all marked up. So I learned something valuable on that day, something that I'll never forget, and that is just how easy it is for us to be deceived and perhaps led along on something of a little journey when it comes to people misrepresenting what it is that they're actually doing. It's the old bait and switch, isn't it? They bait you with an opportunity that's going to be fun, that's going to be exciting, and the whole time they're really trying to get you to see something else. Now, again, this was kind of a harmless situation, but what if it had been, you know, something more serious? Are there ways that the world continues to use methods like this, even to this day, where we are thinking we're getting one thing and we end up getting something else? Well, of course that's true. And we probably all have been there when something was misrepresented to us when it comes to an experience that we're going to have or something we're going to buy. But I want to call our attention really to where we are in the world today. And one of the things that Peter tells us, and Paul says as well, is that we're not unaware of the devil's schemes. And so really, we need to become more cognizant of the ways that the enemy works. And he does move in similar ways. He just uses different objects and people. He uses silver mines and television and the internet. And he uses entertainment and the possibility of riches, the hope of riches, to steal from us. Steal our time, steal our money, and sometimes even steal our life. Well, can we get to the point where we can grow? I mean, I would like to think we can. In my life, I will never hop in the back of a truck of an individual who's going to take me to go see a silver mine. I'll never do that again. Nor anyone who promises something that I don't ask them clearly. Now that I think of it, it actually happened to me one other time when I was in Dublin, Ireland. I had a group of people and we were walking along and the same thing happened. A guy walked up and said, "Hey, you guys looking for a place to eat?" I was like, "Yeah, we're in search of a restaurant." And he goes, "I know a good place." Of course, he was an Irishman. And he started leading us. And I remember we're all looking at each other. Now, again, it was one of these situations where you're like, "Well, what's going on here?" We got about a block into the walk. And I just looked at the man. And I said, "I don't know where you take it. I'm not, you know, we're done." And he goes, no, I promise we're not. I said, "No, sir, I'm sorry. We're not following you anymore." So I learned my lesson. And we ended up eating at a nice restaurant that was close by right where we were. Sometimes we just have to be on our guard and watch out for what's happening. I want to read from Romans chapter 12 and give you a perspective, a biblical perspective that might just really help you and help me when it comes to living in a world that is somewhat of an illusion, that there's so much mistrust and dishonesty that is taking place that is even being perpetrated by people that we're supposed to trust, like government officials. When you begin to find out that certain things that we were lied to and that they use different ways to bring misinformation and disinformation, malinformation, all of this is being used. And before I read this scripture in Romans, I wanted to also mention that perhaps you've been reading about what they call fifth generation warfare. Now, I would generally just look at that and just move on, except it's coming from people that I do trust, people that are involved in this business and are beginning to be whistleblowers. In other words, they're saying, "Yeah, you know what? This started out that we were using these mind tricks and these deceptive practices against our enemies, but now we're using it on our own people." And so that, of course, would make a lot of us very, very concerned. Well, let's get to the scripture here. In Romans chapter 12, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." So God was always after just us being the sacrifice, not giving our lives physically, but to give our lives in surrender to God. God has always been wanting us to get back into fellowship with him in the garden where we trust him implicitly and that we understand that he is God and he is worshiped and worthy to be worshiped as God. Now, of course, in the revelation of Christ, which is what Paul is saying here in Romans chapter 12, based on all that he has said up to that point, this is our response. But then in verse 2, he says something that's relevant to what I'm sharing with you today. "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." When we think about what is going on in this world and what we're being subjected to. There is this awakening that takes place when a person comes to Christ. I'll never forget my experience. And of course, it was not nearly as intense as might be for somebody who's lived a longer life. I got saved at the age of 17. And I had believed a lot of lies, but there weren't as many lies because I hadn't lived enough life. There were lies about relationship. There were lies about alcohol. There were lies about drugs. There were lies about how I treated people and lies about myself. And there were things that, of course, as I read the Bible, began to get exposed. What Paul's telling us here is that if we want to know the will of God for our life, which I'm trusting if you're listening to this, then you want to know the will of God. And you want to be protected from the deceitfulness that pulls us away from the will of God. As in the case of my story, you know, there are going to be those who try to pull us away from our objective, a bait and switch to give us something good to rob us of the great. And the great would be the will of God. The way Paul describes it here is his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's good. It's good for us. It's pleasing. It'll be pleasing to those around us, and it'll be pleasing to God. God will be pleased with the choices and the direction we're taking. And then perfect will. I could see where someone might walk away and thinking that there's three levels of the will of God, that there's a good will, you know, that we just walk in the good will of God. But there's a greater one, that it's his pleasing will. And then we'll graduate to the perfect will of God. I don't know. There may be something in that, but I think what he's doing is describing all the will of God just in general, that it's good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect for us. So discovering it is the goal, isn't it? And how do we discover it? We discover it by allowing God to renew our minds. Now, why would we need a renewing of our minds? Because, I mean, it gets harder. Because you might think, well, I'm not going to be that stupid. I'm not going to let anybody take me to a silver mine that I, you know, they're not going to do that. I'm not going to let them do that. And I'm not going to let them take me to their restaurant and get me off the beaten path. I'm not going to put myself where I'm having other people tell me what to do or lead me away from my goal. Except it does happen, folks. It may not happen with a person, but it happens with our passions. It happens with our focus. It happens ultimately because at our core, we are selfish. And we are out for number one, first and foremost. And it takes a lifetime for us to be deprogrammed from thinking that way. I mean, in my own life and looking at my own desires, my own passions, you know, all of us have looked at things like, for me, I just bought a new truck. And I really enjoy this truck. I've never actually owned a truck in all of my life. I've only owned cars. And part of the reason for me buying the truck was so that I could have something to get into that fit my body frame and that I would not have a problem with my back. So having tried many different vehicles, I settled on a truck because I thought, well, there are many different practical reasons for owning a truck. But deep down inside, it was also, you know, I want to drive a truck. I mean, I'm a big guy. I'm a man's man. And, you know, a man's man should drive a truck. And I'm not pointing out that I think I've sinned or anything like that. I'm just talking about how we all have desires. And we can check those desires at the door and we can do all of those things. And in my case, you know, I am 60 years old and I've never owned a truck. I've never been in a situation where I could even afford one. But I find myself in life where I could. And I found myself in life where that's what I actually needed. I could have pulled the trigger and bought a truck when I didn't need it or when I couldn't afford it. But neither of those were the case. And so really, I'm using that as an example to say that God was successful in helping me to renew my mind enough where I could make a good choice based upon getting advice and doing my research and saving up money. And of course, knowing what was best for my body physically. So as an example, so many of us, we let our passions, our desires, our impatience get ahead of us. And Paul is trying to reach out to us to say, look, if you're going to stay in the heart and the will of God, because see, the opposite of being in the will of God is turmoil, it's struggle, it's pain, it's confusion, it's sadness, it's all of those things. It's not living our best life. But finding the straight and the narrow, to finding that good, pleasing, and perfect will is not just sacrificial. It's not just that we're making God happy, but it's we're going to be happy. We're going to be happiest when we are in the center of God's will. Now, they use that illustration, the center, meaning that there might be a little play, you know, in a circle. You got this circle where you're moving around within the will of God. I don't mind that. I don't think that's a problem in the sense that it's not going to be so regimented and stiff that if I even take one step out, that I'm now beginning to have to get counsel and pray for weeks on whether I buy a brand new dishwasher or not. God gives us common sense. God gives us so many other things. But what we really want to do is just check our heart. And how does Paul tell us to do that? He says to renew your mind. Well, two things, right? Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Wow, what is the pattern of this world? Well, I think we can put a pattern together that it's not going to be a path. It's not built on the ways of God. God's not going to be involved in it. The pattern of this world is going to be selfish. The pattern is going to look self-serving. It's going to potentially hurt others. And it's going to give into impatience. It's going to be impatient. It's going to be unloving. It's going to be unkind. And it's going to be unwise. That's what it looks like. That's the pattern of this world. And it says, don't conform. So the problem is we're born with this deformity, and we have already conformed to the world in a very short period of time. And you may not think you have, but you have. So it takes a lifetime to reform our minds, or as Paul says here, transform our minds. But then he says, we need to renew our mind. So we need a resurrection of our mind. As Christians, we're a spirit, we're a soul, and we're a body. Your physical body is yours. It's male or female, big, small, whatever our body style and shape and all that is. That's your body. Then, of course, you have your spirit. And your spirit is very hard and very difficult to describe, but it's the eternal part of you. When life was breathed into us, a spark of life and a spirit was born. And that is us. That is our eternal person. Then we are a soul, which is also an eternal part of who we are. And what is interesting is that our body will also be eternal because God wanted us to take that with us. Isn't that cool? He's going to raise us from the dead, and we're going to begin new bodies that will be similar to the ones we have now, only perfect. Pretty cool. But let's look at that soul. The soul is the mind, the will, the emotions, the mind, the will, the volition, our choices. Our emotions are joy or peace, how we respond to life. But it's in that will that needs to be renewed. So our spirit comes to life, and it really doesn't need any more renewing. As far as I understand scripture, once your spirit comes to life, it's a perfect spirit. It's justified. It's healed. Your body, of course, is going to die. It's going to break down, and it will need renewing later. But our soul needs to be renewed now. And that begins with this word called sanctification. And the renewing of our mind is what Paul says needs to be done. That's how we can know the will of God. So we have to get busy giving the raw materials to our mind. So what we think about, what we know, gnosko. So how do I get my mind renewed, Pastor David? Well, you got to get the word of God in there. And you got to believe the word of God. So faith mixed with the word begins the process of finding and replacing, getting rid of the lies and replacing them with truth in every aspect of our life. Now, of course, that opens the door to, okay, what's next? Well, we don't have time for that, except to just say, you know, we live in a world where they try to find and replace. We live in a world where they want to capitalize on our ignorance. They want to capitalize on our innocence. They want to capitalize on our tendency toward being easily deceived, which kind of comes with the territory for human beings, starting with Adam and Eve, which is really a combination of Adam, who was willfully disobedient because he knew what Eve was doing was wrong, and then the deceptive part through Eve. Both are passed on to us, a broken will and a easily deceived soul. Both can be healed. Both can be transformed by the renewing of our mind through the word of God and the ways of God, so that we're not so easily deceived, so we're not so easily misinformed, disinformed, or malinformed. If we're going to live in a fifth generation world, well, that kind of makes me think of the spirit realm. You know, fighting what you can't see is a spiritual reality. And it makes absolute sense that the battle is going to be mostly fought in our minds. Well, thanks for joining me here today. Quick prayer. Lord, bless us. Help us. Help us to allow our minds to be conformed into your will. Lord, we thank you. You love us. You're for us. You died for us. And that, Lord, this broken will, this sinful will, Lord, is transformed. It's conformed. We need that miraculous transformation today. Lord, we give you our mind, we give you our will, and we read the word. You do the miraculous work of transforming us. And I pray that every one of us that are listening to this right now, that that would be our hope. That, Lord, we're not going to be left to ourselves. We're not going to be easily deceived. We're not going to be easily misled. But Holy Spirit, we know you've come to help us. Help us and lead us through a transformed mind in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. God bless, folks. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.